Democrats are so weird. The hypocrisy is amazing to me. Like, I'm just thinking, you know, they think that an 8-year-old can cut their genitals off and make that decision. They believe that, you know, climate information should come from, at the time, a 16-year-old from Sweden. Yet you're going to tell a 20-year-old who took out a college loan that we have to protect you. You know, the dangling of the carrot of reparations right now, that's immoral. All they're doing is they're saying, listen, we're just going to give you more bait that's going to keep you on the hook.
It's how the Democrats continue to be the party of slavery. Even bigger than that, I think, Chad, is this rhino problem. We are facing, I'm just saying, in general, a Republican in name only is a huge problem for us. And it begs the question, when I'm on the road, people are saying, so much so that I've just added it to my stump. When I go out and I speak on the stump, I'm just talking about, how do you identify a rhino? Let me tell you, there's one or two good litmus tests. My favorite one is just ask. Ask a candidate or somebody who's already in office running for re-election, do you think that the 2020 presidential election was stolen? And if that person hems or haws or says no, that's a freaking rhino, man. Get them out of there.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. Man, I feel like I'm dressed like a little kid or something. Shy. I just went downstairs and put on this, you know, this little short sleeve button up shirt. I was like some kind of Charlie Brown or something like that. I don't know. I feel the waves of the summer heat coming, guys. I'm about to go on 3 different vacations. I am. I'm going on a cruise, which is technically a work cruise, but it's going to be good. And I don't have to do that much. And then I'm going to, I'm going camping, I think, for a few days next month. And then I'm going to Cabo in June. God, don't let Armageddon happen or World War III before I get to go on these vacations. I need a little rest. I guess that could be eternal rest, but I don't want to go that route. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning into the show. As always, ratings and reviews are appreciated. We like a 5-star rating and a review. I don't really care what you say as long as you're saying something that drives us up the rankings, and we always appreciate that. And I want to remind you guys, as always, drop your email address, thechadpratershow.com, so you can be a part of the family. And that just means you're going to get our Friday newsletter with some behind-the-scenes stuff and some information you're not going to get on the show. So check it out. And as, again, always, watchchad.com for all the fun stuff is. Hey, guys, you know, a lot of us are struggling to keep up with everyday bills. I mean, everything is still really expensive. If you own a home, I want you to call my friends at American Financing. That's right. They're saving their customers an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity and wiping out high-interest credit card debt. $854 a month, that's like a $10,000 raise. Listen, credit card interest rates are insane, and most of us are still carrying a balance from month to month. Think about how much interest you're going to pay on that credit card if you're only paying the minimum payment every single month. American Financing never charges any upfront fees, and that's why they have over 7,200 Google reviews and a 4.7-star rating. They've helped thousands of customers save real money and put themselves into a better financial position. If you call today, you may be able to delay 2 mortgage payments, giving you great savings right up front. Call American Financing today at 888-675-4090. That's 888-675-4090 today to see what they can do for you. Stop living paycheck to paycheck. That's 888-675-4090 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Check them out. Joining me today, one of my very best friends in the world. We don't get to spend near enough time together, but man, when we do, it's such a blessing. I love this guy. I love his voice. I love what he stands for. I love who he is. And you know him because he's been on the show numerous times, and many of you already follow and listen to his show, The Right Side with Doug Billings. Doug, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
Chad, my brother and friend, it's good to be here. Thanks for the invitation, man. Good to see you in your new digs. This is the first time I've been on since you've relocated into this new studio.
I was going to reach out and see if I could get you on in a week or two, give you a little heads up, but you kind of stepped in today. You came off the bench, and we had a cancellation, and I was like, no, let's see if Doug is willing to jump on real quick. So, you know, so we have no prep here. We have no bullet points to send to say this is what we're going to talk about. This episode will come out in a few days. So headlines will probably be old news. First of all, before we get into that, because I want to pick your brain on a couple of steady issues that we've been dealing with this year. But how's the show going, man? Because I think you have one of the best shows on the planet with The Right Side. I mean, you're doing that every day, right? How's it going?
Yeah, we're plugging away. Mm-hmm. This is our 4th year, believe it or not. And I just want to remind the audience, you know, 4 years ago, I was nobody, had just been fired from corporate America because of a certain stance that I took about COVID and the jab, which is perhaps a story for another day, another time. But I was on the internet trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do. I started this show trying to tell the truth. I see this guy named Chad Prather on Cameo, and I just out of the blue said, "Hey, I'm trying to start a show. Can you give me some tips? Can you do this Cameo and give me a plug?" And Chad Prather plugs Doug Billings without ever knowing him, without ever vetting me. And God knows you should have. But it's been great ever since. And it's been surreal on a lot of levels. I mean, in 4 years, we get about 2.5 to 3 million views a month. I'll take it. You know, we want to do better than that. Sometimes we beat CNN. I'm quickly reminded that the Food Channel beats CNN. So that's a short lived celebration.
You kill it, brother.
It's great. We've had all sorts of, we've met great, become friends with you, have become friends with people like General Flynn. I've met with Trump 4 times. I'm going back on May 9th to the 12th. They've invited me. They're putting me up at Mar-a-Lago. And I know you just got back from there, so you know what that's like. And, so that's been great, and I appreciate you asking.
Mar-a-Lago, we'll dig into that because you've been there many more times than I have. I've been a couple, and you're a fixture at this point. I will say, not fortuitous. It was a God thing whenever you and I connected, because you know how it is. Sometimes you meet somebody and it's just instant, and you know this guy is the right guy. I mean, it's soul meets soul and simpatico, and so you and I hit it off, and we've been, you know, around the sun a couple of times together. We've shared some cocktails, had some laughs, and a lot of fun times. And man, I really appreciate your friendship. So I'm glad that, you know, it's one of those things where, like, we may not talk for a little while, but then we're just, like, right back at it. And so I really do appreciate that about you. And I appreciate, as I said earlier, your voice, because I really do believe the spirit of Rush Limbaugh, whatever that means. I believe that mantle rests on your shoulders in some ways. I think there's certain people out there that the spirit of Rush Limbaugh just kind of is in them, and you're one of those guys. And that's, you know, that's
thank you,
that's Chad. High praise, tall cotton there to be walking in it. But I think you do it pretty well. And when I say that is pretty well, I mean, you're doing it with an extreme amount of excellence. So good job on that.
Well, thank you, brother. Look, that is a high honor, no doubt. I'm quick to say every time I hear that, and I'm blessed every time that I do, there will never be another Rush Limbaugh. I am not here. Some people notice and say, "Hey, Billings, what the hell? It's kind of brazen of you. How big are your cojones? You got that gold mic. What are you pretending?" So the gold mic was actually given to me as a gift by a friend of mine who said the same, paid me the nicest compliment, just like you did. And so to honor my friend who gave me the mic, I use this golden mic. I'm not trying to pretend, but we've had, I like to think that the spirit of Rush lives in all of us on the right side. You, me, the people that want to carry that torch, that mantle forward. Rush could do it by himself. No, I don't think anybody else can do it by themselves. We all are in this together. My show, you know, I'm certainly not a stand-up comedian. I'm blessed to just be able to give my opinion about the news of the day, to look around and give my opinion about what's going on, much like what you do. And General Flynn, even when I met Trump, the first thing he told me, well, you know, I was down in Texas with you and you introduced me to Glenn Beck. The first thing says, "You remind me of Rush Limbaugh." Now, he was talking about the way I look, which immediately made me think I've got to lose a few pounds, obviously.
No, I'll never forget that. So. We were on Sarah Gonzalez's set, The News and Why It Matters, and Glenn got up, came around, shook your hand. And it just, you know, Glenn was kind of taken aback. And he goes, "You remind me, just when I look you in the eye, it reminds me of Rush Limbaugh." And so that was interesting. Yeah. I was there for that. So that was a pretty interesting take on Glenn's part. So that's.
And ironically, the first time I was down at Mar-a-Lago, I was with General Flynn.
Wow.
And Trump said the same thing just by looking at me. Just said, "You look kind of remind me of," I go, "I obviously do need to go on a diet here, everybody." And they had never seen the show, but it's just surreal to be able to go down and see President Trump and have him shake your hand and say, "Doug, how are you?" And you know, one observation though, just off the cuff here, I'm certain that you agree. When you look at Mar-a-Lago and you look at all of the houses in that neighborhood, the radical left coming after him for this valuation deal, what a freaking sham That is the most the best piece of property down there.
We've made a little clip, and I've talked about this since. We made a little reel that we posted on social media that night before the Mar-a-Lago dinner and event. We got to Mar-a-Lago about 10 minutes before we were supposed to be there. We actually got there when we were told to get there, but they had delayed the letting people in. So we drove on past because the security's obviously strict there. We drove on past. We went two roads down and we pulled in. And there's always traffic on that road. What is that, Ocean Boulevard or whatever it is? But there's always traffic there in front of Mar-a-Lago. It's a little bit of a traffic jam. So we went two roads down. We pulled in. And I like to pull up realtor.com on the app, and I just see what the valuation of homes are in certain areas where I'm at. Right. And it's just I'm just curious about where the places, what they're worth, where what people are paying for where I'm at. And so every house on that street, just two blocks up from Mar-a-Lago, were $20 million, and the one down by the water on the lake side of the island, that one was $59 million. And I thought, okay, so these little shacks, and these homes were maybe 4,000, 4,500 square feet, just looking at their footprint from the outside. Not 22-acre Mar-a-Lago with, this historic E.F. Hutton Post mansion.
Exactly. With lakefront and oceanfront.
Tunnels and the whole thing, with the membership valuations of it. And wasn't that interesting when they said, it's worth $18 million. And then later on CNN, the talking head was saying, he could sell this for $240 million and get his bail. And I'm like, so which is it? What's the story? So these talking heads are idiots, For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian wireless service provider. When I say the only ones, they are the only ones, and I'm so proud of them as my friends and partners for this show. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, and they're going to give you the ability to access all three major networks. So if you're used to a certain coverage, you can keep that same coverage, but you can also use Patriot Mobile and not fund all of these big companies that send a portion of your bill to leftist causes. So if you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military veterans, first responder heroes. 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. They will even give you free activation when you use promo code CHAD. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can upgrade. They'll help you do that, but they will find the best plan for your family and for your needs. Go to patriotmobile.com/CHAD or call them 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, or give them a call or check them out online, I should say, patriotmobile.com/CHAD. Join me and make the switch today.
You've heard that, these idiots. I was just reading today, Katie Couric is out there saying that the MAGA movement is born out of people who, it's born out of anti-intellectualism, is what she said. So this is, and for 4 years, I've been saying, one of the monikers of this show is that I point out the intellectual immaturity of liberals. And sometimes, like Katie did today, they do it all by themselves. I mean, that once again, we're deplorables, we're anti-intellectual, and when will they learn? That does not do anything to diminish us. In fact, it causes just the opposite. Many more millions of us rise up. Look at what they're saying about Trump going to see Barron's graduation. Every time they do not put forth nonsense or make threats like that, the common folk rise up and support President Trump, and it just does nothing but cement an eventual victory in November, in my opinion.
And based off what Katie Couric had said, it reminds me of people who, let's say, old time Pentecostal revivalists, they go to their tent meeting and they get pretty lathered up. They get pretty fired up. And the outsider looking in says, what's these people's problems? I was watching the first season of True Detective with Matthew McConaughey, where he says, I'm looking at these people and I don't think they're going to split any atoms, right? And he was making this judgment, but they were pretty passionate and pretty fervent. And then the Woody Harrelson character was defending them, saying, these people know what they believe in. They know why they believe it. And they're pretty, pretty, passionate about it. And maybe you shouldn't be such an asshole for judging them. And I'm like, this is sort of the way people look at the MAGA movement or the Trump supporters. And they're like, these are a bunch of imbeciles that don't know anything. You show me some people who are really passionate about what they believe, even if they may not have the ability to articulate it in the most effectual way all the time. And I'm not saying that's necessarily true or characteristic of the MAGA movement, but even if that's the accusation, I still want people who are passionate about this country. And, you know, the Don Lemons of the world and the Rachel Maddows and the Stephen Colberts and those guys, they just don't inspire a whole lot of passion in me in terms of pursuing patriotism. You know what I'm saying? So for me, when I look at guys like that, I'm like, you're not inspiring anybody. But Donald Trump, a billionaire, comes down that escalator. You can go to Mar-a-Lago and you can see the gold trim and the gaudiness of the decoration and all of the just it's just a wild, surreal place to be. And how passionate the people that are on that property are, even the people that work for Mar-a-Lago or work for Trump. Yeah. They love him.
They love him.
They love him. And it's people of all colors, to be clear. The people who are on that property.
Yes.
It's not. That's exactly right.
And from
right.
Various
they love
countries.
Him. I mean, and you talk to them and they're so passionate about their jobs. Everything there is done with excellence. The food is always fantastic when you eat there. And I'm like, you know, but then you look at the people, the average rank and file out there, the guy who's changing the oil at a Jiffy Lube underneath a truck, who somehow that guy in his blue collar workaday lifestyle relates with a billionaire mogul who has been one of the most famous people on the planet for, you know, decades now, an icon of American culture. And it's like, you tell me one person on the left that inspires that kind of thing. It just doesn't exist. Doesn't exist.
Yeah. They don't exist. And the common man and women in this country, the man and women in this republic, look at Trump, who can't often catch a break, who often are working hard, they're paycheck to paycheck. And to your point, you don't have to be a member of Mar-a-Lago to appreciate Mar-a-Lago and to appreciate what Trump has done. And when they see Trump not catching a break, what we're witnessing is, and I don't know if people would articulate it like this, but this is what we're watching on TV, the Barron Trump, you can't go to your son's high school graduation, that kind of thing. This is not the American justice system. And Mary and John Doe on the streets of Main Street America know this, and they see it, and they're drawn to Trump because of it. Everybody, you know, it's not scientific. I know that. I grant you that. But my opinion is there are multiple hundreds of millions of people. Again, John and Jane Doe on the streets of Main Street America, who may have voted for Administrator Biden. I never call a guy president. They may have voted for him. But what they're looking around and seeing in this country is such a nightmare that they're saying, this isn't what I signed up for. And they see Trump being persecuted. They've been persecuted, perhaps. They've not been able to catch a break. They know what it feels like to be under pressure from the man. And it draws people to
the average rank and file person out there. They've been through life, and a lot of them have a bad taste in their mouth about the government. Maybe you've gotten that letter from the IRS or the state comptroller or something where you suddenly felt helpless or hopeless because you didn't know how to fight this, or now you're in a legal battle with something bigger than you knew how to deal with. They can relate to that sense of dictatorial judgment that these courts are doing in the form of lawfare with Trump. The Barron Trump thing is an interesting story to me because this is just another example of them demonstrating the dictatorial type of behavior that they're accusing Trump of doing. You know, Whoopi Goldberg goes on The View and says if Republicans get in power, they're going to bring slavery back. I don't know, Doug. I don't know who listens to that pablum and believes it, but obviously there's a lot of morons out there who do. So, you know, and then to make that a reality, to believe that that's something that is honest to God, a critical thought or that's a real prognostication in the political climate of this country is stupid to me. You know, the meat in your grocery store aisle, it probably didn't come from America. That's right. It's mystery meat. You don't know where it's from. Not only that, but when you see that product of the USA sticker that's on the meat packaging, it just means that it was packaged in America. It doesn't mean it was raised here. So that's not what our friends over at Backyard Butchers are all about. Listen, they're a Christian conservative Texas-based company that's dedicated to delivering not only the best meat, but the best deals and quality of chicken and beef to you. Their American-raised, American-harvested meat comes from their own backyard, and they deliver across the nation. The meat is grass-fed and grain-finished, meaning that everything they deliver to you is going to taste it's going to taste amazing. Trust me, my freezer is full of it, and I cook it almost daily, if I'm being honest. So cut the frustration in the meat aisle. Go to backyardbutchers.com Chad.com/Chad. Save an extra 20% off your first order. And if you subscribe, you get another 10% off plus free shipping. So they got over 500,000 happy customers across America, hundreds of five-star reviews, and an American-based customer service team. You can trust that you're being taken care of. Again, backyardbutchers.com/Chad is going to get you 20% off of your first order. And if you subscribe, you're going to get an additional 10% off plus free shipping. That's backyardbutchers.com/Chad. And by the way, a side note, I haven't said anything about this, but this was something that just talking about Katie Couric. Did you see when the gay wedding last week, who was it? Don Lemon and his white supremacist husband, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, white men are the biggest danger on this into the Republic. What is he doing marrying
there
one?
There were little nuances to that. Like, do you notice he carried the black dog and he made his husband carry the white dogs?
Yes.
And then I saw in their little procession going into the church, Matt Lauer was there. He was there. If you go back and look at the footage, little bald-headed Matt Lauer, who was Me Too'd into oblivion. Matt Lauer, the guy who had the button on his desk that he could lock women in his office so they couldn't get away from him. And then he got, you know, NBC kicked him off. And it's like, how the hell is that guy at Don Lemon's wedding, Mr. Woke himself, how the hell is Matt Lauer invited to Don Lemon's wedding? See, they reveal their bullshit. They don't believe a damn thing they've said or accused the right of being. They're a bunch of hypocrites, dude. So what do you make of these talking heads, these pinheads that go out there and do that, and just the people that listen to them? I mean, is there any destiny for this country beyond doom?
Well, and so excellent question and a very good point that can be a deep point. I mean, this could be a topic that is actually very significant. And I'm going to begin by calling this group of people, all of the ones who you just mentioned and more, all of the ones on the radical left, whether they're on legacy media or in politics, they are a coalition of immorality, and they are not stupid. They are crazy. They're batshit crazy. I can say that.
You to keep talking because I'm pulling up my notes right now because you just said something that I want to not forget, and I'm bad about that. Coalition.
Yeah, go for it. And so they represent a purposeful deconstruction of what this republic is supposed to be. And I say that in all seriousness. You look back over the last 4 years since COVID hit. The radical left has been trying to deconstruct the Republic of the United States, and I am not at all kidding. Look at what they've done. Evidence of the obvious is sufficient. You can start with the biggest example of what we all know about, and that's the border, whereby they want millions upon millions of people to come in to be their new electoral base and to change, or if not destroy, America's sense of national identity. If anybody out there has ever been lately to France or Germany or Spain or Italy, you'll see that they have no self-concept anymore. There is no national identity in France or Germany, Spain or Italy because of their immigration problems. And that's exactly what the left wants to happen here. And they will come in and offer them free stuff, free healthcare, free housing, as long as they fill out this box of ballots and give it to that guy in the white van over there. And if you think that's not happening, you need to wake up and watch something else than legacy media. So a coalition of immorality, they do not align with God. They do not align with the founding fathers, and conservatives in this country are the only people now who can claim that right, the allegiance to God and the allegiance to the intent of the founding fathers. That's
a bathtub full of truth. That'll preach all day long. And to your point, I don't know what you think about this. You know, you and I haven't talked specifically about, say, like Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. I like the guy, disappointed in the guy, whatever, you know, whatever. It's kind of weird.
A little mixed bag.
I had higher hopes, and we could go into that. But, you know, he comes out a week or so ago, and Trump is backing him with the SAVE Act, you know, which basically is the Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility Act, which says we're going to make sure that people who are in this country illegally can't register to vote, because there are certain places where they are pushing that. Like if you go into a welfare office, and you've come across the border illegally. Let's say you came in, you got detained, or you're waiting on an amnesty hearing or something like that. You go to the welfare office, which you're going to get welfare, and they'll give you a voter registration card. And, you know, there's certain parameters in which people can vote in certain elections if they're living in a certain area. Maybe it's a state or local and not a federal, that type of thing. They want to make sure they can't do it on a federal level. And of course, we posted about that on X, and a lot of people, mine blew up. I don't know, 20,000 something reactions and 4,000 comments of liberal re-reads going, it's already illegal for people to vote in this country if they're not here legally. Yeah, we know that, moron. The problem is you can't tell me with a straight face that you guys don't want to change that and make that happen. So these types of things like the SAVE Act is something that is, again, a typical type of legislation, which we shouldn't have to require or need. But the fact that you guys do want to push this and make it a reality is something that we have to fight back against. So that's, as you said, that you know, destruction of the republic. These globalists want America to look in 15 years, 10, 15, 20 years, they want America gone. American exceptionalism is a bad word. America first is a slur at this point. They want all of that stuff deconstructed and gone. I've said it for years my way. A little bit simpler term is they're crashing the plane. They're doing it on purpose, but basically it's a crash landing. They're bringing the thing down. And they know that, and they know that there's not much anybody. The people in the back don't know how to fly it, and the window licker in chief who's sitting in the pilot seat up there, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing either. So they're fine to see it come down. It's an Obama plot. We've seen it over and over again. But yet, you and I are the crazy people.
Yeah, it's, and talk about crashing the plane. They're in full force kamikaze mode. I mean, they're driving it into the dirt. And the look. I would last weekend, I had here in Kansas City, Matt Gaetz came to town and spoke at one of the Lincoln Day dinners here in town. And, you know, you speak about Mike Johnson and I'm a mixed bag. I'm reminded though, look, our problem is the nightmare in America is so bad that we want change, that we want to get things done, and we have a sense of urgency, and we still have to negotiate to a degree. I understand that. I get it. But I also know that aside from the Democrat, and I've gone so far as to say, maybe you've heard me say it before, just when we're talking, I don't believe there are any more right. Democrats. I mean, as there certainly right. no more John F. Kennedy Democrats.
I think not the last even any Bill Clinton Democrats.
They've
couple weeks
Joe
ago.
Lieberman, you may be right, and they've blended communism and socialism together. I call them the Commune Socialist Party, and they are. Yeah, you're right. This is good visual. They're flying the country right into the ground, and they despise America. Look, you watch any one of these people. Look at people on X, even the celebrity class. Rob Reiner is a great one. He's always out there saying something, and they never refer to us as a republic. It's a Chad Prather is a threat to our democracy. You know, but we're not a democracy. And the founders had specific and passionate debates about us not being a democracy. Thank you very much. We're a republic, but they don't say that word because it's the root word of Republican or whatever. And they don't want to go down. They don't want to say it. And they continually deny the founders' intent. And wait, don't get me started on this whole Christian nation thing. If you go back and look at the founding fathers' writings, their journals, their diaries, look at early colonial American and United States school curriculum, you're damn right they wanted the Bible taught in public schools. You're damn right they wanted theology, philosophy, the arts, civics, and so forth. But I can't call it, we're not founded on Christianity. Right. BS. We are. We're, and the whole Baptist Danbury letter from Thomas Jefferson, you know, taken out of context every time they use it. I could go on and on. But this is what they do. They are not a pro-America political party.
No, they're
Chad.
Not. No longer. Gone so far in an extreme generalization. My friend Weston Martinez said this a couple of years to me, and it stuck with me about, he said, we don't have Republicans and Democrats. We have patriots and traitors. And listen, some of those traitors are Republicans, and, to be clear.
Yeah. You look at what these people, and you think about coalition of immorality, a major political party who advocates the death and the murder of babies, and even sometimes yes. partial birth as they're being born, and it's medieval, or to dare to suggest that children who are confused about happiness and being able to find wonder, joy, and meaning in life, to be able to say to them, well, you must be gender misappropriated, and let's mutilate your genitalia. That'll bring you happiness. That'll show you where to find wonder, joy, and meaning in life. It's absolutely abhorrent, and one of my good friends, Father James Altman, one of the few Catholic priests out there who are actually speaking from the public venue, the public square, about all of this, has said, you know what? You cannot be a Democrat and be a Christian. Yeah. It's absolutely impossible.
I concur. You know, Karl Marx called religion the opiate of the masses. And that's, these full-blown Marxists these days, they believe that. They believe if you claim God, faith as a foundation, anything, then you're just led astray. You're another one of those ignorant people. What was it, your Bible and your guns, isn't that what Obama referred to? Another thing, for Republicans, we just cling to our Bibles and our guns. You alluded to something right there about the Democrats are so weird. The hypocrisy is amazing to me. Like, I'm just thinking, they think that an 8-year-old can cut their genitals off and make that decision. They believe that, climate information should come from, at the time, a 16-year-old from Sweden. And then yet you're going to tell a 20-year-old who took out a college loan that we have to protect you from being taken advantage of by getting the college loan, and we're going to, in a stunt here, regardless of what the Supreme Court has to say about it, we're going to forgive your college loans. No, you're just going to pass it on to the blue-collar, hardworking person out there who didn't either go to college or has already paid for their college degree, and you're going to just, further tax the middle class and say, oh, look, you guys have forgiven your college loan. So this kind of idea that these guys are for the people, I can go even one step further. God, you're talking about this stuff, Doug, and I want to steal your idea. I want to write a book called A Coalition of Immorality. I want to write the freaking book.
Do it, brother. Because
if you look at this stuff, the dangling of the carrot of reparations right now, that's immoral. All they're doing is they're saying, listen, we're just going to give you more bait that's going to keep you on the hook and keep you further dependent on the government, because they're never going to give.
It's how the Democrats continue to be the party of slavery. Those entitlements are nothing more than slavery.
We'll give you just enough to make you think we're giving you something, but it'll never be enough to get you off the government tit. It'll never be enough, whether it's the welfare system or whether it's reparations. And I think the reparations thing is making even a bigger deal with the open borders going on, because they know the most marginalized people of the black community are the ones who are immediately going to be replaced by the illegals who are coming across the border. So I literally feel tragically sorry for these people who have bought into this lie for multiple generations, because they don't see the train coming through the tunnel, man. And it's about to be tragic.
Right. And we have, as a result of that, and you hit a good point there with the minority, especially the black community in America, especially black men, in record numbers, they're coming over to Trump's side because of what they've seen and what they're experiencing. And another thing, we talk about this coalition of immorality. What's the guy's name that got the trans Dylan guy, Mulvaney, the Bud Light deal? So I read, again, he's coming to Kansas City. I wrote online, this is on Facebook earlier today, Mulvaney's coming to Kansas City. And in the comment section on Facebook, I said, be sure to remind him that if in 300 years, if an archaeologist digs up his bones, they would have discovered the bones of a man.
Like sure this right here, these were testicles. These were testicles. Here's a skeleton with a 5 o'clock shadow. Oh my gosh, dude. I'm talking about Matt Lauer earlier. Where is the Me Too movement? Where do these people go? You're talking about coalitions of immorality. Where the hell did these folks go when you got dudes putting on a one-piece bathing suit, jumping in a pool with collegiate swimmers that are girls, or you're going into Planet Fitness? I mean, you had a dude, a couple of weeks ago, dude goes into a Planet Fitness, says he identifies as a woman, pulls out a bottle of lotion, strips down naked, and hands it to a 17-year-old and wants her to rub it down all over his body. What the F, dude? I mean, where are we living at this stage in the game? Yep. And people are going to defend that kind of crap? Blow the whole system up, dude. It's insane. You got a guy that plays a golf tournament, qualifies for an LPGA event, and the only thing he did different was paint his fingernails and play with extra balls in the bag. And then you got just this week, you had the high school runner, teenage boy, who beat those girls in the track meet by like 100 yards. Yeah, I mean, and you're going to say that's okay. Yeah. And they say the headline says trans runner. No. It's a dude.
Jeez. Yeah. And Bruce Jenner will always be Bruce Jenner to me, with all due respect. And he's not a bad dude.
Of course.
He's a kook, but he's not a bad, but he'll always be Bruce Jenner. I refuse to capitulate to their titles and their mutilated genitalia and their pronouns and whatever. I refuse to engage. The thing with this, you know, we look at women's sports and the attack on it, and women, they're starting to rise up and complain and make news, but this is rooted, you know, the feminist movement from the 60s and the 70s, it's rooted in that. They've got themselves to blame for this. And I think that if you look at the words equality and fairness, we've all been about equality in this country. Well, we've all got to be equal. And I, believe me, when I was in corporate America, I was the VP of human resources, and I would get this all the time. And my response, you know, Doug, we need you to draft policies that make sure that everybody's treated equal. And I would say to them, you realize, of course, it's impossible to treat everybody equally. It's not only impossible, it's a pretty bad idea. What we should be doing is treating people fairly. And there's a huge difference. Everybody has different baggage, different, you know, well, how come he got 10 days for a bereavement leave? It says you only get 3 in our policy. Well, because his father lives in Germany. Hello. It takes a couple. I mean, we've got to treat people fairly. And this whole equality thing, we're not equal, Chad. We are not equal. Men and women are different.
Yeah.
And thank God they're different. And we've got to be careful of this striving for equality.
You know, they did that with COVID when they launched out. Another example is when they brought this vaccine out and said that everybody's got to, you know, have the same exact medical procedure. And you know, forget individual treatment or individual diagnosis or anything like that. Everybody had to have the exact same thing, and then the subsequent boosters that went with it. So again, they are doing that, aren't they? They're really eradicating the sense of identity and individuality. That transhumanism.
Transhumanism. Yeah. They are after. You know, and Chad, look, to be honest, this reminds me of Elon Musk. And I like Elon in a lot of ways. And there's a part of me, you know, this chip in the head thing where you can look at a phone and turn it on and dial it. There's a part of me that kind of digs that. There's a part of me that says, that's pretty damn cool, especially if you're handicapped. I mean, especially if you're, you know, you can't move. Now, we have to be careful. It can be a slippery slope. But people out there that want to put our consciousness, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Noah Yuval Harari? He's like the spiritual director for Klaus Schwab of the
World Economic Forum.
He wants to put our, World Economic Forum. And Klaus Schwab, by the way, is in the hospital. I posted the other day, I hope they give him remdesivir.
Well, that'd be some weird comeuppance, wouldn't it? Ironic. Yeah.
That'd be some karma, wouldn't it? Oh, boy. So, but Noah Yuval Harari, let me get his name right. He wants to put our consciousness into this, into like a motherboard, right? For lack of a better term. He thinks that our human condition can be transhumanized into circuit boards and other things. It's anti-God. It's very dangerous, very frightening. And that many people out there are seem to
it's
buy
a slippery
into that,
slope, and I'll give people a real life example. We did a special on this back when Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, and there were we exposed some of the things on my show that people didn't know about Jeffrey Epstein, like for instance the Zorro Ranch in New Mexico. A lot more people know about that now, but nobody talked about how basically the New Mexican royalty of government politicians that were there. The King family, they basically had him insulated there because if their ranch was like a donut, he was the hole. Okay. So you had to fly in to get to the Zorro Ranch. It wasn't an easy place to get to. So he's in a way insulated. But he was all about the transhumanism stuff. I mean, one of his requests was he wanted them to preserve his head and his penis when he died. And his whole thing was he was bringing, 20 virgins at a time out to the ranch. The goal was to impregnate all of them so he could create a whole little society of Epsteins. This is the type of stuff that people have been entertaining for a lot of years. The problem is now it's getting mainstream in the idea of with AI. It's kind of the next logical technological step. But as you said, it's a slippery slope into destruction is what it is. I mean, this is some real science fiction shit that we're starting to see.
Yeah, we look, I'm at the end of the day, I'm fairly simple minded. We have a God, a creator who made us in his image and who endowed us with certain inalienable rights. The Constitution of the United States, the Constitution does not grant us our humanity. Mm-hmm. It does not grant us our rights. God grants us our rights. The Constitution limits the government's ability to infringe on our rights, right? So we have this swath of people in this country, and thankfully, I'm still a believer that they're the minority. It's just that they're very vocal, and sometimes it seems as if there's many more of them. But I think in recent years, especially these last four, when I look back over the chaos and I look at the people in this nation, I go on these tours, I go, as you do, we go across the country, we speak to thousands of people, and we hear what's on their mind. I do think there's this great reawakening, and this nightmare that we're in has become so bad that it's waking millions of people up. And perhaps that's the good news that we should all focus on, because when we all look at nightmares, when we think of nightmares, the mutual good news is that everybody, and I mean everybody, words are important, everybody wakes up from nightmares. So we have to hope that there's the great reawakening happening back to the divine providence of God. You know, we were talking earlier about what the founder said about Christianity, the foundations of this nation. John Adams said, this republic is purposefully designed for a religious and a moral people. If you can't achieve that, the republic will fail. And you can see evidence of that and how that's possible with the crash of this economy or the republic as it is. So we have to be careful. I think there is, again, I'm a half full kind of guy. When I look at the glass, it looks half full to me. There is a great reawakening. We are America. America, I don't believe we're on our deathbed. We are in one hell of a nightmare, but we're waking up. And people like you, Chad, and your audience, you're the remnant. We are the remnant, and we've got a job to do here. And not to be a Bible thumper and I'm not a stand on the street corner guy, but look, this country was founded on Christian principles. There's no denying it. And when we get back on track, the blessings that this country experienced at its birth and beyond will return to us. I'm just convinced of that.
We're talking to Doug Billings. He is the host of The Right Side, and with Doug Billings, and you need to be subscribed to everything he's doing and tuning in to him on a daily basis. You know, Doug, you have grown very close with General Flynn, and you've traveled around the country with him. He's got the documentary coming out. He's got the movie coming out that he's all over the country now pushing and promoting that. And so I'm excited about that. Something curious. I was having a conversation with Carrie Lake in Florida a couple of weeks ago, and we were sitting there, and you know, the conversation often comes up with CJ. She asked Carrie, she said, you know, Carrie, I was kind of holding out hope and thinking maybe Trump was going to tap you to be his vice president. And, you know, Carrie played the humble honesty thing. And she said, I just think that it'd be better for me to be in the Senate and so on and so forth. And so I said, well, who do you think? Because that's always the conversation that comes up. She said something that had not registered with me. She said, I want it to be somebody like Michael Flynn. And I said, that's an interesting concept. Yep. And the reason she said it is because if you pick a vice president that people don't want to have to deal with, they want the president to stay there so they don't have to deal with the person in line. Like, we don't want Kamala Harris. That's for damn sure.
Stay alive, we Biden. Please stay alive. Don't die.
But I was like, you know, that's an interesting concept, General Flynn. What do you think about that?
It's a natural inclination, and a lot of people say that. And I agree with her about the Senate. She is much more important to Trump in the Senate. We need to get that. We need to bolster up our majority in the Senate and get that back. So, yes, keep her in the Senate. Flynn was asked to be vice president in 2016 when Trump ran. He was one of four people that was on the list, and he talks about that in the film. I think, and this is going to, with no offense, because I'll tell you who I think should be VP, and I don't want to offend anyone who eventually gets that. So I'm going to say this without no offense to the role of vice presidency, but the role of vice presidency would be wasted on General Flynn. With what General Flynn knows and with his background in intelligence in the military, I think that what you'll see is a new role in a cabinet. I don't know if it's going to be cabinet, but a new role. And I joke with him and I say, I think you should call this the Department of Accountability. And he, Flynn will go in. And what Flynn is going to do is he's going to gut, purge, and cleanse the Department of Justice. He knows where the bodies are. He's going to go in there and do it. And I think that you're going to see him eliminate the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, and the Department of the Interior, and return like the Department of Interior. People go, what the hell? It's basically parks and state things that the states can do on their own. The federal government really has no role. Sure. And education too, by the way, that should be a state issue. So I think you're going to see a lot of that from Flynn to go in. This Department of Accountability is going to slash and burn the Department of Justice. That includes, of course, in case you're from Raytown, Missouri, that means the FBI and the CIA are going to be purged. So that's what I think Flynn's going to do. Vice President, a name that you've probably never, well, I know you know this guy, but you've probably never heard him associated with this role, Kash Patel. Now I've got to verify whether or not Kash was actually born in the States. I know, I think his parents came from Canada. So I've got a little work to do on that one, but I think that's, first of all, it's appealing to me because he's young, smart, and he could be the standard bearer in 2028 and 32. Devin Nunes could also be vice president, and he's one of those names that's not really in public, but has been talked about behind closed doors.
Who, so, you went out on week for a second.
Either would be fine.
Devin Nunes.
Devin Nunes. Yeah. Along with Kash Patel. Another role I think is interesting that we should look at is, it's a new one, and I've called it the Secretary of Life. I think Father Frank Pavone, Catholic priest who has been defrocked because of his conservative stance for protecting life. I mean, I think that would be interesting. I think that the Republicans need to keep abortion on the table and not be afraid of it, to not be afraid that we need to be a culture of life. Secretary of Life, Father Frank Pavone, if you don't know him, look him up, ladies and gentlemen. And then Roger Stone, I think, senior presidential advisor, no better brilliant mind in history than Stone. He already advises President Trump anyway. But Flynn, wow, man, watch him set up this Department of Accountability and gut, cleanse, and
that
purge
in and of itself is why Trump needs to get, I mean, it, for no other reason. Just to see the opportunity of being able to see something like that happen would be absolutely amazing. Just to go in and destroy the useless, worthless black hole of economic waste that is the bureaucracy within the Beltway of Washington, D.C. And no better person than General Michael Flynn. I would love to see it. Amen. But isn't it interesting how they've done, you know, you mentioned some guys, like people mentioned Roger Stone. We were just with Roger last week. I love Roger. Roger's a trip, dude. I mean, he is something else.
He's
dude.
A trip.
I mean, he's cut from a different bolt, man. He loves us. He loves me. He loves CJ. He endorsed me for governor. I says, Roger, I don't know if that's good or bad, dude. But he did. We were together. You and I were together today, that day, whenever he did it on that stage. And he came out, he goes, well, I did it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, here we go. But I love Roger. And people are like, well, these guys are quacks, this and blah, blah, blah. But you see, they've just like you talked about, you know, the priest that was defrocked for his stance on, you know, life. And it's like they discredit everybody that they're threatened by. That's their whole thing, is they go in and they try to paint them as these wild-eyed radicals. I mean, you know, January 6th, they came in to Roger Stone's hotel room. The guy wasn't even in town. He'd already left. He got out of Dodge before any of that stuff happened.
Oh, but they still targeted him
on this kind of stuff. So I say, you know what? I'm in it for that. I say let's go down, man. Let's go down in a fight if that's what it's going to take. Let's get some wild-eyed radicals if that's the way you want to put them out there, a bunch of barbarians. Because I've seen what bureaucrats will do. I've seen what these long-term permanent Washington politicians will do, and they're screwing us.
You know, and Chad, I'm going to say this. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, or there's another guy out there who I used to like when he first came upon the scene. He's down in your neck of the woods. I think you ought to run against Dan Crenshaw. That jack wagon, I mean, he's the biggest disappointment. He's one of the top three biggest disappointments that I can think of.
He let a lot of people down. No, and I tell you, you know, my buddy Jameson Ellis has run against him twice now in two different times. Jameson got really close this last time. Didn't spend a whole lot of money, and I think still got within 9% of him. I will say this. I won't say the cards are off the table for me. I will say there's a lot of people who are asking me about it and talking to me about it and interested in me doing that. Of course, Carrie Lake, she floated the idea. She said, you should just run as an independent. I can't do that because in the state of Texas, I voted in the primary as a Republican. So once you do that, and plus you have to file, I think, between November and December of the year prior if you're going to run as an independent. But I voted in the Republican primary, therefore I forfeit my ability to run as an independent, which wasn't a desire of mine anyway. But, you know, just to people, there are people out there who have encouraged me to do that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you see people say primary is ass. Well, the primaries are over. That already happened, unfortunately. And yeah. You know, most of the conservative PACs here in District 2, which is where I live, they did not endorse or encourage anyone to vote for Dan Crenshaw. I mean, the guy is an absolute disappointment. So I will say this. We've got a couple of years to look at it. Hopefully we survive. We'll see. Or I pray to God, you know, Dan has a transformational experience. And because I knew Dan, I've done many events with Dan. Right. We've had cocktails together. We visited together. Dan's a smart guy. He's not stupid. He's not a dumb guy. But man, you want to talk about pulling the wool over people's eyes, and it's a disappointment. It is a disappointment.
Yeah. And you know, as we go into this election, I don't
we got time.
How much time we have left, but I real quickly, because people, we have a problem with this commu-socialist party, no doubt about it. The radical left blending communism, socialism, everything that they're doing to the country. I mean, we could speak for a week about the border, transgenderism, and all of that we've already talked about, the attack on women's sports. I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Beyond that, and probably more significantly, and speaking about Dan reminds me of it, even bigger than that, I think, Chad, is this rhino problem. We are facing the people that can't get elected as a Democrat who put an R behind their name. I'm not accusing Dan of initially doing that. I'm just saying, in general, a Republican in a name only is a huge problem for us. And it begs the question, when I'm on the road, people are saying, so much so that I've just added it to my stump. When I go out and I speak on the stump, I'm just talking about, how do you identify a rhino? Let me tell you, there's one or two good litmus tests. One is, my favorite one is, just ask a candidate or somebody who's already in office running for re-election, do you think that the 2020 presidential election was stolen? And if that person hems or haws or says no, that's a freaking rhino, man. Get them out of there. I don't have any patience for that. I was at this dinner last weekend in Kansas City. I mentioned earlier in this segment, Matt Gaetz came to Kansas City to give his talk. Great guy. Like Matt a lot. And I was sitting next to a few candidates, one of which was running for Secretary of State, one running for Attorney General, who didn't want to tell me that the presidential election of 2020 was stolen. I'm sorry, but I didn't make a big deal about it, but those are rhinos, ladies and gentlemen. I have no patience for that. We've got to get beyond that. Got to get rid of the damn machines. We've got to make what the founders intended. Election day,
right?
Not election month and not even election week. You know, if they can do it in third world countries, vote and count it in a day or 20 or 48 hours, so should we. And get rid of these damn machines. Chad, there's a whole bunch there, but how do you identify a rhino? Begin with that question. Sir, ma'am, do you think that the 2020 election was stolen?
Yeah, and see what they say. It's a pretty good litmus test. I mean, and again, you talk about how, listen, what I alluded to a minute ago about running as an independent, but there's rules that you can't, you know, you can't, like, that in and of itself, if the people of District 2 here in the state of Texas want me to be their congressman, it doesn't matter what party I'm a part of. If that's who they vote for, then that's who they should get. But again, there's all these different rules that they've done. I don't think our founding fathers intended it for being that way. And I don't think they did. They certainly didn't foresee a whole bunch of machines out there that we're feeding Scantron pages into that, you know, God only knows if they're reading them or not. Or in Carrie Lake's case, when she was running against Katie Hobbs for governor in Arizona, you know, all the Republican districts get faulty machines that they have to shut things down for hours, you know, on end. You know, and hey, I'll say this too about, I'm all over the place, but you know, Matt Gaetz, dude's got a big head and they're full of brains. And I'll tell you what, I like Matt's. He's got a fully punchable face. I've said that for years. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to go up against the guy. I mean, I think Matt's hilarious in the way that he goes about things. And he's another one that they've tried to do everything they can to discredit him. And I see these people say, Matt Gaetz is an idiot. He's this. Go against him and see what you get. Go against him and see what you get. Stand toe to toe with the guy and see what you get. He'll embarrass the hell out of you. Because people like that, they know their stuff and they're people of conviction. And if you look at these people across the board, and we go back to the very beginning, what you alluded to with Katie Couric, you can accuse us of being a bunch of tent revivalists out there handling the snakes with only four teeth in our head. But I tell you what, we'll embarrass the shit out of you real quick. Because there's something to be said about people who have that kind of passion and are willing to sacrifice it all. And trust me, they're sacrificing a lot. But to still be able to articulate what it is they believe and why, it's a dangerous combination. So here we are. Here we are. Let's get more of them out there, man. And it's a revolution. It's a social, political, cultural revolution we're living in the middle of, dude. Yeah.
It really is. And the left, again, this we're talking about all over the place. I'm just reminded what was flashed right in front of my mind here. We talked about Trump. We talked about the weaponization of a legal system against him and against other people too in this country. Look, if by now we don't all know that innocent people plead guilty every day in this country, every freaking day, thousands of innocent people plead guilty because they don't want to go through that process. They just want to get it behind them. They can't, they don't have the finance, whatever the reason is. I'm telling you, it's true. We have a class of people on the left who will absolutely try to take I'm thinking about gun control and they look at these things that are happening in the country. And then at the same time, I'm reminded about these prosecutors that all work in blue states. I promise you, next time, God forbid, it's a long time from now, next time there's a mass shooting, look at that person who pulled the trigger. And I will lay you odds that chances are pretty damn good that within the last few months, they were arrested and put in jail on some charge or another and let go. And they're out now to cause more damage. This is the problem that we're dealing with. We have so many laws on the books. If they were enforced, if we had prosecutors that had the balls to prosecute with extreme prejudice and put them in jail for a substantial amount of time. And the way it is now, if they're prosecuted at all, they get out in a few days or a month and they're out and they're doing what they're just doing. They're committing these crimes. I get on it. I don't know why it crossed my mind, but it's a soapbox of mine. It's an issue that we need to look at. And it's just, again, part of the purposeful deconstruction and chaos and the nightmare that this commune socialist party and coalition of immorality is casting upon us.
Meanwhile, the DOJ is making sure to put grandma that took a guided tour through the Washington Capitol on January 6th in solitary confinement without charge and hold her until, Doug, we need a cocktail, dude. We need...
Golly. Well, I was reminded since it's your show, I could have a drink.
It's late enough in the day while we're recording this thing. We should have had a drink. What's next for you? I mean, when do I see you again? I'm coming to Kansas City later this year, but what's going on with you? Where you're traveling? Where are you going?
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll always catch you when you come to KC. I would, I'm doing a couple of my own conferences this year. June 28th, 29th. I've got other dates in the future. I always ping you and I always ask you if time permits, because you've got a carte blanche invitation and always existing and always standing invitation to come and speak at any event that I host. So we're going to do a few of those. We're going to next in May 9th, we're heading back again, like I mentioned earlier, Mar-a-Lago.
Talk to me about that. You just big pimping Flynn, over there? I mean, what are you doing? You just going over to eat the food and just sleep in the sweet beds or what?
I actually have an NDA, so I can tell you a little bit. I hate to even say that. I feel like I'm such
a. But you hiding, Doug.
I don't know. General Flynn was the reason I got my first introduction. And then I know a guy by the name of Cameron Moore, who is a member down there. Trump has said, you're my favorite member down here, Cameron. So Cameron and I are buddies, and he always has dinner with the president. He hobnobs with David Harris Jr., Carrie Lake, all the people that you mentioned and all of the people that you know. He's hosting an event with Roseanne Barr too down there. So he's the reason I get invited. But then I think I just like Trump, and I've you know, I've said, hey, if you ever need a press secretary, let me know. He says, you don't want to give up your deal, Rush. You don't want to give up that deal. So he's in good humor. And you saw him. I mean, I'm sure you, I hope you did. And he's got his iPad. He plays disc jockey. He's playing all the music. He's in good spirits despite what they're throwing at him. So, and I'm plugging away. People can find me at DougBillings.us. You know, look me up over there. And if they like me, if they want to support me, there's ways to do that.
I'll just go so far as to tell people, support Doug. Support Doug. You need a voice like Doug. Every time I'm around him, I'm encouraged. I'm also inspired. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here writing chapters of the book in my head right now, this Coalition of Immorality. And I know exactly how I want to start the first chapter too. I'm telling you, dude, maybe we should write it together, Doug. I don't know. But I'm telling you, bro, I got ideas.
Love it.
You always do that for me. You make me think. And whether I'm on your show or you're on mine, I walk away just going, oh, I just want to go fight something. But I walk away wiser. Yeah, I walk away with a little more perspective, and I appreciate that. And so support Doug. Support Doug. Find ways to do it. DougBillings.us. It's not .com. For those of you who are nodding off, it's not .com. It's .us. And tune in on a daily basis to The Right Side. And wherever podcasts are offered, you can find him on all the places. And just search him out. You're going to find him. Doug, I tell you, keep me posted on your conferences, please. I really want to get to one this year, if not two. I don't care. I just want to come. And I don't have to do anything. I just want to come. I just want to come be there and hang out with you guys because it's always a blessing. And I don't do that enough. You know, I'm trying to be a lot more deliberate this year. Like, you know, I've been on the road doing these, you know, my goofy live shows, which we have fun and they pay the bills. But I'll tell you, our country's at stake, man. And we got to use these platforms in a bigger way. We really do. And just stay faithful with it because they hate our guts. You know, I'm so throttled on YouTube and all the other places. And I'm just keep on plugging away. Just keep on pushing through. You never know what a day is going to bring.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I hear you. Look, brother, I love you. I mean, yeah, I am honored to be able to call you a friend. It's like what you said earlier. It's like we're brothers or cousins or something. You know, we not see each other every day during the year, but when Thanksgiving, Christmas roll, we pick up just where we left off. And I know that I can count on you. Same. And I appreciate that. We are in this together. And
I'm gonna get you back on here soon. We got a little more prep time to do this. And you're always welcome here. I love chatting with you and just getting caught up. And that's what this was. So, Doug, I appreciate you. I love you, pal. And be sure y'all support him, follow him, listen to him. You will walk away enriched because of it. Doug, thanks, man. Thank you.
God bless you and CJ. Thank you, Chad. All right.
You as well, brother. Thank you. Hey, guys, don't forget, watchchad.com for all the fun stuff is jump on the chadpraithershow.com. Leave an email address, yours preferably. Please, and then check your spam folder. We send out the newsletter every Friday. We would love for you to be a part of that family. And, you know, ratings, reviews, whatever, it helps. But we just say thank you from the bottom of our heart for Shy, Mission Studios, the folks that work so hard to put this show together, and, of course, Doug Billings, The Right Side with Doug Billings. Y'all check him out. We love y'all. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.